Stay tuned for Building Knowledge with Building and Realty Institute host Jeff Hanley. Mr. Hanley is the Associate Director of BRI, and every Friday morning at 11:30, you'll have the opportunity of learning to build your knowledge about planning, insurance, environmental regulations, and everything you need to know on the local level to build your knowledge. Here now is Jeff Hanley.
Good morning and a happy Friday to all. Welcome to Building Knowledge with the Building and Realty Institute, a radio show of the Building and Realty Institute of Westchester and the Mid-Hudson region, which is also known as the BRI, as well as the Builders Institute. I am Jeff Hanley, Associate Executive Director of the BRI and your program host. We thank you so very much for joining us this morning on 1460 AM WVOX, as well as worldwide on WVOX.com. We are coming to you live from the WVOX studios in New Rochelle. And again, many thanks for joining us on this chilly Friday morning. For first-time listeners, we will explain what the Building and Realty Institute is. Our association is a building, realty, and construction industry membership organization. The BRI is composed of more than 1,800 members in 14 counties of New York State. We are truly a statewide business organization. Those members are involved in virtually every sector of the building, realty, and construction industry. The BRI represents our members and the building, realty, and construction sectors on a 24/7 basis. If you are involved in the building, realty, or construction industries, we are most definitely the membership organization for you and for your business. And throughout 2021, we will be marking the 75th anniversary of the formation of the BRI. Our association was formed on February 11th, 1946, and we will be citing that anniversary throughout 2021. Our birthday is rapidly approaching our 75th anniversary. Amazing. As I mentioned, we are live, so please feel free to call us at 914-636-0110 with any questions or comments that you may have on the content of today's show. That number again is 914-636-0110. We would be happy to hear from you. Our program this morning will examine how the effective use of contemporary technology is absolutely essential to businesses, including construction, engineering, architectural, and contractor services companies. Our guest is Jamie Kudla, the president of TerryTech Computer Consultants of Elmsford. Jamie and his company are members of the Building and Realty Institute, and we are very happy to have James with us this morning here at the WVOX studios in New Rochelle. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and welcome to Building Knowledge with the Building and Realty Institute here on 1460 AM WVOX and WVOX.com. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming down. We appreciate you taking the time to come to the studio this morning. Again, it is so nice to see you and so nice to have you on the program. Jamie, please provide us with a brief overview of TerryTech Computer Consultants and the services that it provides.
Sure. TerryTech is what we call an MSP, which stands for Managed Service Provider. An MSP is a company that provides outsourced IT support and service, typically for a fixed fee per month. So we work with companies in the New York metro area that's, you know, 30 miles from or 45 miles from Elmsford, New York, and we provide them with outsourced IT support.
Okay. James, thanks again for joining us. What are the best ways to reach TerryTech?
The best ways to reach TerryTech, you can call us at 914-432-3056, or you can reach out to us on the web at www.terrytech.com or send an email to info@terrytech.com.
Sounds good. We have a range of topics to cover this morning, so we'll get right to it, Jamie. Jamie, your company stresses that upgrading and improving technology in several areas critical to the operation of a construction and contractor services company really does yield great results. Your company recently stressed that four areas are important in achieving those results. Let's start with redundancy. Can you explain your feelings on that term?
Yeah, sure. So obviously, you know, technology plays a big part in the companies that we service. You know, construction, HVAC, electrical, plumbing, you know, all of those industries, you know, they're more and more dependent on technology every single day. So what does that mean? It could mean their telephone systems. It could mean access to their files, their email, their connection to the internet, communication with their clients. You know, all of these things are dependent upon technology. Mm-hmm. In a lot of instances, those systems are host on-premise in their offices. So they may have servers or what we call premise-based IT solutions, right? In other type of arrangements, they have what we call SaaS solutions or software as a service. So they've actually moved it to the cloud, right? You might hear that referred to as cloud services. Some people have full hosted infrastructures at companies like Amazon or Microsoft, that kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. So clearly there's a dependency on technology, and having access to those systems is so important. So, you know, in speaking with our client base, you know, a small mistake, a 10-minute downtime can cost you tens of thousands of dollars if you're missing critical information, being able to contact your clients, service what they need, get access to the data, drawings, whatever it is that you need. So you need some redundancy. So what does that mean? I think you have to, first of all, you have to understand where is my information located? What are the critical systems that I need access to? And then what could be the potential, what could potentially break down? How could I, you know, that service be interrupted? So say, for example, all of your information was stored on-premise in your server in your office, right? So in theory, if you have, you know, power and internet and you can drive into the office and your server's up and running, that's good. You would have access to those systems. But what happens if your server crashes, right? What if you come in and there's the next morning and there's smoke coming out of your server, a pipe burst over your server? What are you going to do? How are you going to get redundancy? So what that might mean in that instance could be, you know, we have a backup and disaster recovery product. We take a snapshot of that server once an hour to this appliance, you know, and it's on-premise. So let's say your server crashed. Well, let's see if we can, you know, in the solution that we have, we can boot up what's called a virtual instance of your server. So within 20 minutes, I can have your server up and running on this backup appliance where you would have full access to everything that was stored on that server. Moving beyond that, you might want an offsite component to that. So say, for example, you can't get into your building, there's a fire, flood, theft, something like that, and those systems are gone. Mm-hmm. You definitely want to have something that's off-premise. So you would want to have redundancy in the form of an off-premise service as well. So particularly, and there's other solutions, but the solution that we have, we replicate the information from this on-premise, we call it a BDR, backup and disaster recovery appliance, to the cloud, right? So that if you need access to it, we can boot up another copy of this, another virtual copy of this, and we can have access to that critical information within the hour. So when you're thinking about redundancy, you have to think about where your information is going to be, where it's stored, the critical systems that you need access to, and then trying to think about, okay, what could go wrong, and how can I get access to this? One other key point that I need to make there, too, is that not all redundancy systems are equal, right? Meaning so, If I were to go to you and I'd say, listen, I got a backup copy of your server and we're going to get you back up and running, you better frame that with some kind of time frame, right? Mm-hmm. So 5 minutes might be what you need. 2 days might be what you need. But you better make sure that whatever disaster recovery or redundancy system that you have in place is going to meet your requirements for getting access to that information.
Great summary, Jamie. I am just stunned at the 20-minute time frame you mentioned for problems with the server. The entire content can be recovered in 20 minutes. That's amazing to me.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, so it uses, you know, virtual technology. You know, we use a product that's called VMware, uh-huh. And it hosts, you know, virtual servers, right? So, you know, that's just modern technology. It's been around for a long time. Every Fortune 500 company in the world uses VMware in virtual servers, you know, or other. They call it a Hyper-V platform, you know, other Hyper-V platforms. So it's a very well-known thing if you're in my space, right? Mm-hmm. Not everybody knows what they don't know, or you don't know what you don't know, right? So, you know, which is why we're trying to bring this information to the industry.
The second component you wanted to discuss, Jamie, is communication. So can you elaborate on that, please?
Sure. Communication, we're seeing some breakdowns in communication, not only because of COVID, but even before COVID, you know, because I think the ways that we can communicate with each other have changed, and it changes quickly. So let's just say pre-COVID timeframe, right? You are, given the nature of, the listeners, the building and realty members,
mm-hmm.
they have job sites, they have people on the road, they're taking pictures of construction sites, and basically their workforce is dispersed. So how can you communicate? How can you control all of that so it's all in one location and you can do so effectively? The answer is most people don't do that very well, right? So it's a combination of text messages and cell phones and, sending some pictures via email and that sort of thing. So communication tends to be dispersed and, not centralized and very difficult to manage. So again, I think anytime that you put together any kind of technology solution, you have to first find out what are the requirements and how do you work, right? So do we have more than one office? Are we setting up job trailers, where we're going to be for weeks or months at a time? Do we have people on the road? Do we have service technicians? Once you understand, where you're working, then you can say, okay, what kind of communication do we have? Is it simply email communication? Do we need to share file and folder data? Is it going to be pictures? Would it be nice if we could, kind of capture some of the instant messaging, between those types of users? So what most people do, because management or the people that are making technology decisions for these organizations, they don't start with trying to understand where they're coming from. And everyone wants to do well, and everyone wants to deliver in their job. So you kind of get this sprawl in these kinds of ways of communication throughout the organization. People are trying to be efficient and deliver, but they're not necessarily doing something that's industry standard, something that can be backed up, something that the management of the company can monitor and own those conversations and the information that's going back and forth. So what you need to do is you have to decide on a couple systems that are going to work for your organization. One that we've gotten a ton of traction with, it's delivering a ton of value to our client base, is Microsoft 365. So most people have their email. Actually, let me talk about Microsoft 365 is a suite of products, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some people equate that with just email, but it's really a full suite of products, right? Most companies have their email hosted somewhere else at this point. They don't host it on a server that they have on-premise in their offices anymore. Most people have moved it to the cloud, right? So when they say, oh, I'm on Microsoft 365, in a lot of people's mind, that means we have email, right? But it's more than that. It's really a communication and a collaboration suite. So not only is it email, but there's a couple other products that we use well within our client base, one of them being SharePoint and another one being OneDrive. So SharePoint and OneDrive, they're really communication, it's really file and folder sharing in the cloud, right? So SharePoint provides you a platform where you and your team can put their files, you could share access to those files, you could track revisions, you could see who's working on it, and you could see changes in real time. So you're collaborating on these documents. We've all seen where you're sharing a folder or you're sharing a file, you have three people working on it, and everyone saves it, and then you end up with three copies of the same. It's happened to everybody. So SharePoint allows people to collaborate on those documents, and you can actually see people making changes so it doesn't get overwritten, and you could communicate effectively that way. OneDrive is another way. And actually, I was just talking to my son the other day, and he needed access to a school project, and it was saved on the home computer. I said, don't do that, because there's cloud platforms, one being them, OneDrive, where you could save your files so that you can have access to them anytime, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really matter. Am I working in the office? Am I working in the field? Am I working in the trailer? All of my stuff is there, right? And then not only that, management or the owners of the company can back up this information, right? Because if I'm working on a laptop and I'm on a job site and I'm saving information on that file or folder, what happens if I lose my laptop? What if I drop it and it's broken? What if I leave the company? The company loses that information. So people are trying to do their job, and they're trying to share and maintain records of this information. But if you don't have a system in place, it starts to fall down. two other points that I want to make. I don't know how much time I got to talk on this topic.
We've got plenty of time remaining. We're at 11:47 a.m. You're listening to Building Knowledge with the Building and Realty Institute here on 1460 a.m. WVOX, as well as worldwide on WVOX.com. We thank you for joining us on this Friday morning. I am Jeff Hanley, your program host. I am also the Associate Executive Director of the Building and Realty Institute, a building, realty, and construction industry membership organization with more than 1,800 members in 14 counties of New York State. For further information on the Building and Realty Institute, please visit our website, buildersinstitute.org. That address is buildersinstitute.org. Our program this morning is examining how the effective use of contemporary technology is absolutely essential to businesses, including construction, engineering, architectural, and contractor services companies. Our guest is Jamie Kudla. He is the president of Terry Tech Computer Consultants of Elmsford, which is a member of the Building and Realty Institute. If you have any questions on the content of our show, please feel free to give us a call at 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110. We're at 11:48. Jamie, you can continue on that thought. I just had to do the station ID.
Great.
You can continue on that thought. It's all yours.
Great. Thank you. So two other points that I wanted to make in regards to communication. Part of the Microsoft 365 suite is a product called Microsoft Teams.
Mm-hmm.
So Teams is really a messaging platform that's been extremely powerful, and we use it in our organization. So it's another program, right? You load onto your computer, you load on your smartphone, you load onto your tablet, whatever it is. It allows me to have instant messenger type conversations with the people in my organization or outside of my organization. I could do one-to-one correspondence. We could set it up in a group so that, you know, we're communicating in that fashion, you know, so that we're sharing messages across a group. I can do video through that too. So, you know, this morning I meet with a couple of members of my team, 8 o'clock in the morning. We have a standing meeting in Teams. We open it up. We use the microphones on our laptop, but also the cameras. So one of the guys happened to be in my office. The other guy's in Florida. So three of us are communicating like we're in the same room, and it's on demand. You can also do tracking of files and folders within Teams as well.
Mm-hmm.
You could set up recurring meetings. I can send meetings to people outside of the organization. So in the same way that you would use Zoom or GoToMeeting, you know, you could set up meetings with people outside of the organization, schedule them in your calendar and that sort of thing. Very powerful product, and people are starting to warm up to using that fully in their organization, replace some other messaging components. And the last thing that I wanted to mention is voice over IP.
Okay.
That's a big thing. I can't tell you how many people that we're calling, and I'm not saying necessarily our clients, but, you know, certainly from a business development standpoint and some of the companies that we're calling into, especially now in the COVID environment that we're in,
mm-hmm.
where we'll call the main office and we'll speak with somebody and we'll say, you know, let me speak with Jeff. And they say, oh, I can't transfer you and he doesn't have voicemail. You know, which I kind of find hard to believe in today's world that people haven't adapted to voice over IP. Look, my nose is so close to the page that I think everybody understands how simple and easy it is to use. And it really is. But basically, it's taken your old terrestrial-based phone systems, the one, you know, those, you go into the server room and you know, those big almond-colored boxes with all the clicking switches or whatever, those are all gone. They've moved it into the cloud. So I make phone calls and I receive phone calls posted probably somewhere at Amazon, right? And it rings to a phone that's in my office, which is essentially just a specialized computer. It can ring to my cell phone using a voice over IP client, or it can certainly forward to my voice over IP, or it can just forward to my cell phone. I can install a voice over IP client or software to my laptop, which means I would be able to work from home or a job site or a trailer or, you know, in the car, wherever it would be. And it's very simple to do. It's very powerful. It's very effective. And allows you to have a fully integrated phone system anywhere that you have a connection to the internet.
You wanted to touch on security, a very, very critical topic. Please elaborate on security, James.
Sure. So in 2019, there was 2.5 billion reported cybersecurity breaches, right? And you could do a little bit of research. I'm not going to go over all the statistics now. But cybersecurity, the threats are real, and that's worth repeating. The threats are real. It doesn't matter how big of a company you are, how small of a company you are. the bad actors that are out there. They're basically trolling the internet, and they're looking for people that have, you know, unlocked doors, right? So I'm telling you right now, if you are not taking cybersecurity seriously, if you have not evaluated your systems and any of the controls that you have in place, there's a chance that you're going to be attacked, and I think it's a good chance. Put that aside for a second, right? So when you're talking about cybersecurity in an organization, it has to start with management first, right? And the owners are the decision makers in the company. They need to understand how serious the cybersecurity threats are, and they got to decide that they need to get serious about that. Once they decide that, you know, you need to talk to a company like TerryTech to help you, you know, coach through that process. So again, it comes down to, where's my critical data? Where's my critical systems? How am I accessing these things? Are they available only in the office? Are they available from points outside of the office? And do we have centralized user management on all of these things? Do I know who's logging into these systems? Can I audit who's logging into these systems or the times that they're logging into these systems? Have we configured everyone so that they have default access to everything that's out there? You know, because for a very long time, the job of an MSP or an IT company or the person that was managing the technology in your business was to give everyone access to anything, anytime, anywhere, and you know, to make you more efficient, right, and give you access to these systems. We're learning that that wasn't such a great thing, or we've learned that that wasn't such a great thing. So if, when we go in and we're auditing some of these environments, it's amazing to see who has access to what, how many people have administrative rights, how many places that you can get within a network with simple login, right? So, you know, take a look at your systems, take a look at your programs, take a look at your users and their access, and then you can start to build what we call controls around there. If there's nothing else that you take away from the from this program today, I want to strongly encourage you that you need to have what they call two-factor authentication on as many of your authentication systems as you can. So what does that mean? If you have email, right? Presumably you have email.
Right.
It's based on a username and a password, right? You put it into your phone, you put it into your computer, get full access to Jeff's email. What if somebody in the Ukraine guesses your username and password, right? I don't know. You don't know. They can read your email. They can send emails as you. They can forward all of the emails to, maybe an account where they're monitoring this stuff. That's how they start to attack your systems. That's how they start to do, you know, recon. I mean, they're learning your environment, and they're trying to figure out, okay, who does Jeff talk to that potentially we could get him to wire some money? How can I send him an email that would be of interest with a link that they might click on that we could get, install ransomware on his computer? So what two-factor authentication does is it's based on a username and a password, but also something that you have. So you would download a program onto your phone, for example, Google Authenticator, or Microsoft has a two-factor authentication program too. So it's a username and a password, and then say, for example, your email is hosted at Microsoft 365. They will text you a one-time code when you're setting it up to make sure that it's you. So a username and a password isn't good enough to get in anymore. You also need that code. Certainly with people working remotely too, again, people are trying to do, they want to be productive, so they're installing LogMeIn, go to my PC. Well, it's a username and a password. If that username and password were compromised and a bad actor were to gain access to that, potentially they could have access to anything that you have access to, and we're seeing companies get locked up with ransomware, and the threats are very real, and they're having to pay, you know, instances of, you know, millions of dollars. So there's things that you can do. There's critical controls that you need to get in place, one of them being two-factor authentication, and then, you know, you could take it from there in regards to what you need to address to keep your network secure.
Wow. I mean, that is some really frightening stuff.
It is.
It really is. So again, what you're saying, Jamie, is this threat is real no matter what the size of your business is, no matter what type of business you have, and you absolutely have to take the necessary precautions.
That's 100% true. If there's anything that keeps me up at night, it's that.
Yeah, that's totally understandable. We have about 3 minutes remaining. Actually, maybe 2 minutes remaining. Jamie, are there any tech trends that businesses should be watching as we go further into 2021?
So I think obviously working remote, working from home, working remote, and productivity, and you know what that looks like. I think you have to learn to put some controls around that. If you're an organization and you haven't evaluated the way that your teams are working remotely, you need to take a holistic approach and understand what that means, right? You don't want people working from their home computers that maybe don't have the latest Windows updates or antivirus software on there, because those computers could be infected, right? And if you're using those computers to remote into your office computer, you know, in theory, and actually in reality, bad actors that have compromised your home computer can get into your systems that way. So you want to start to put some controls on that and understand the way that people are logging in and working remotely, because that's a threat vector, an attack point for the bad actors that are out there. And I can't stress it enough that the threats are real. And that two-factor authentication, we're pushing it on all of our clients, any clients that don't have that right now. We're educating. It starts with educating and understanding that you need to do something about that. And if you're not doing something, you will experience some kind of breach, whether it's next week or next year, but it's going to happen. So concentrating on that cybersecurity.
This is very, very important and interesting material. Jamie, thank you so very much for an excellent summary. We have to have you back. There are so many subjects we didn't have time to get to. You will be back in the weeks ahead. Quickly, what are the best ways to reach Terry Tech Computer Consultants?
Three ways. You can call us, 914-432-3056. You can visit us on our website at www.terrytech.com, or you can send an email to info@terrytech.com.
Jamie, an A-plus effort. Thank you so very much. Listeners, thank you for joining us this morning on Building Knowledge with the Building and Realty Institute. Join us next Friday morning here on 1460 AM WVOX at 11:30 a.m. for another segment of our program. This is Jeff Hanley, your program host and the Associate Executive Director of the Building and Realty Institute, saying stay safe, stay well, have a great weekend.